The 12th perek deals with the dividing up of the meat from certain sacrifices and the hides from certain sacrifices given to the Kohanim who were working that day in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Aleph is going to tell us certain Kohanim that despite the fact that they were on staff that day, they were of the Beis Av, the people who were working on duty that day, they would not be recipients of the meat and or hide. So Mishnah Aleph says as follows, it's Tful Yom, somebody who is Tameh, went to mikvah, but has to wait until Erev Shemesh, has to wait until nightfall to be fully cleansed of that impurity, of that tuma. That is called a tful yom. They tovel today, but have to wait till the nightfall to be cleansed of that tuma. Or a mechutzar kippurim, somebody who had a higher level of tuma, for example, a zav or a zava, so it's not enough to go to mikvah and then wait until nightfall. You have to bring korbanos the next day. So once the korbanos were brought, we're talking about mechusar kippurim is the person who still hasn't brought the korbanos. It's the next day. The prior day they went to mikvah, had Harav Shemis, and have not brought those korbanos yet to take care fully of that zav or zava tuma. So if we have a kohen, it's a tful yom or mechusar kippurim, einam cholkim bekodshim le'echol la'erev. They are not permitted to receive meat from the korbanos that were brought that day. And even if they would only wait until night and to eat it, so they're only going to eat it once the tuma was fully taken care of, it doesn't matter because they are not able to bring the karbanas. So tful yom and a mechusar kippurim cannot be involved in the avoda of bringing their karbanas. They also do not receive the meat from those karbanas. If we have an onain as well cannot be involved in doing the avoda of the karbanos. An onain is somebody who had a close relative pass away, and it's before the kfura, before the burial. But that onain nogea, that onain is permitted to touch the sacrifices. That's not going to make them tame. However, vein homakri is not permitted to do the hakrava, be involved in the bringing of the sacrifices, and also, because he can't be involved in the bringing of the sacrifices, vein acholek leachola erev, also cannot receive some of the meat from the sacrifices, even on the condition that he's going to eat it at night when he's no longer an onain, it doesn't matter, because hey, he cannot do the avoda, he cannot be a recipient of the meat. Now we're going to actually see an exception to that. Ba'ale mumim, if we have a kohen who has a blemish, bein ba'ale mumim kvuin, bein ba'ale mumim ovrim, whether it is a permanent blemish or it is a blemish right now, but it will heal, in any case, cholkim v'ochlim, they would be recipients of the meat from the korbanos, avaloma krivim, but they cannot do the hakrava. So here we have an exception to what we've seen, the bali mumim, indeed, they cannot do the hakrava, but despite that, they can still be recipients of the meat. So with the exception of the bali mumim that we just mentioned, v'chol she'eno ra'i la'avoda, eino cholek babasar, any other situation, anyone who cannot do the avoda, cannot do the avoda, the bringing of the korban, they are not able to be recipients of the meat. But as mentioned, the bali mumim will be the exception. They cannot do the work, but they are recipients of the meat. And continuing, how about the hides? The chol she'ein lo babasar, ein lo ba'oros. Anyone who cannot be a recipient of meat, as we've mentioned in this Mishnah, also cannot be a recipient of the hides that were generated for the karbanos on that day. And the Mishnah continues, afilu tame bishas rikas damim, even if we have a kohen who was tame at the time that they did the zrika of the blood, v'tahor bishas hekter chalavim, and was tahor thereafter at the time that they burned the innards, the sacrificial parts on the mizbeach. And here we're just going to look at the partenura, shehu kol alayda, you can actually burn those sacrificial parts all night long. So the karbanos that were brought in a given day, you can burn it in the afternoon, but you can also continue into the night burning them. And we're talking about, he brings an example, that this kohen who was tame during the day, he went to tefillah during the day, he became tahor with nightfall, and then thereafterward, they burnt the sacrificial parts, ein ocholik babasar. Still, he would not be included in receiving the meat from those karbanos, even though he was tahor by the time that they did the hekter chalavim. It doesn't matter. We learn this from a pasuk. It says as follows, shenemar hamakrives hadam hashlamim, the one who this is doing the zrika, the spritzing of the blood of the shlamim, the es hachelev, and the hekter chalavim, that is burning of the sacrificial parts on the mizbeach, mimnei Aaron, from the children of Aaron, the kohanim, lo sihiyeh shok hayamin lamana. Those are the people that should receive the meats of the korban. In other words, what it's saying, and this is more explicit in the Gemara, and this is how the Rambam paskens, they have to be tahor. In order for a kohen to receive the meat, he has to be tahor the entire time from the zrika until the hekter chalavim. And if he is not tahor, either at the beginning of that, or at the end of that, or even just in the middle, just a little bit tame and went to mikvah immediately, it doesn't matter. That kohen cannot receive the meat from that korban unless he was tahor from the entire time from the zrika all the way up until and including the hekter chalavim. Mishnah Beis discusses the giving out of the hides from the korban olah. And before getting into the language of the Mishnah, we just want to hark back for a second to discuss the various psulim that we've discussed, primarily at the beginning of the Masechta. So in the first parak, we talked about a psul called shalolishma. And that means if somebody brings a korban, thinking that it's a different type of korban. So it's supposed to be a korban olah, and he says this is a korban shlamim. So that's shalolishma. And a more fundamental psul is what we discussed in the second parak. If somebody does, for example, the shchita chutz limkoma or chutz lizman, he has in mind that he's, for example, going to eat or do the zrika outside the proper time or the proper place. So there's a major difference between those two types of psulim. If a psul is shalolishma, the korban is going to be valid. It's simply not going to count for the person who is bringing the korban. The person is going to have to bring a replacement, but that korban can still be put on the mizbeach, etc. On the other hand, the more serious psul, for example, a chutz limkom, a chutz lizmano, if when that happens, if it happens before the zrika, then you can't even burn that korban on the mizbeach. So that is going to have a direct implication for do the kohanim get the ora, do they get the hide of that korban or not? And what we're going to see here is if we have the more serious psul, the type of psul that you're not even allowed to put that animal up on the mizbeach, the kohanim will not receive the hide. On the other hand, if it's a type that is not going to count for the balim, they're going to have to replace that korban, but they're able to put the animal or the entrails up on the mizbeach, then the kohen will receive the hide. Now, we are talking specifically in Mishnah Beis about hides from a korban olah. And the korban olah is unique in that the entire thing is burnt on the mizbeach. So Mishnah Beis says as follows, kol shelo zacha ha-mizbeach be-psara, if we have a korban olah that was brought, but it was pasul and the psul happened before the zrika, so we're not even allowed to put that korban olah up on the mizbeach. Lo zachu ha-kohanim be-orah, the kohanim are not permitted, they don't have a right to get the hide of that animal. Shenemar olas ish, we're darshaning a pasuk right now. Literally, it means the ola of a man, and the drush is as follows: ola sha'alsa leish. When you have an ola that counted for the ish, if you have a valid korban and he gets credit for it, then you indeed the kohanim would receive the or would receive the hide. However, if you have the type of korban that was totally invalid, that couldn't count at all, you couldn't even put it onto the mizbeach, then the kohen is not going to receive the hide from this. So continuing, ola shenishchata shelo lishma, the other type of psul, the less serious psul, that it's simply shelo lishma, it was shechted with the person having in mind that it is a different type of korban. In that situation, even though it didn't count for the balim on this, they're not going to get credit for it. They're going to have to bring a replacement korban. Nonetheless, orala kohanim, the hide is going to go to the kohanim because the korban is fundamentally a valid korban. You can put that korbanola on the mizbeach. It simply doesn't count that the balim brought it and they need a replacement. And now the Mishnah concludes by clarifying, because we saw the pasuk olas ish, and we had a drush on it, you may think that it's only the korban ola of a man and not the woman that the kohanim received the hide from. So the Mishnah says as follows, echad ola sa'ish, bechas ola sa'ish, or whether it's an ola, korban ola brought by a man or a woman, it doesn't matter, ora sayim the kohanim, that hide, as long as it's a valid korban, that hide indeed will be given to the kohanim on staff on that day. Mishnah Gimel discusses who receives other hides not from a korban ola, but other korbanos. So Mishnah Gimel says as follows, oras kadashim kalim labalim, if you have a korban and it's a kodshe kalim, like a shlamim, for example, the skin, the hide, is going to go to the person who brought that korban, the baal, even if it's a non-kohen. On the other hand, v'oilos kodshe kodashim lakohanim, when it comes to the hides of kodshe kodashim, for example, chataos and ashamos, those hides are going to go to the kohanim, just like the korban olah. And in fact, we learn that from the korban olah through a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer, ma'im olah. If we have the situation where we have a korban olah, that the kohanim do not have a right to receive any meat from the korban olah because all of it is burnt on the mizbeach, despite the fact that they don't get any meat, zachu beora, they receive the skin from that korban olah, kal v'chomer, certainly kodshe kodashim shezachu bebsara, when it comes to the other types of kodshe kodashim, for example, chatas and asham, that the kohanim do receive the meat, kal v'chomer, certainly ain't odin, isn't it a kal v'chomer, sheyizku be'ora, shouldn't they obviously receive the or receive the hide? So what we're saying here, what's this kal v'chomer? If we have a korban olah that the kohanim are just getting the hide and not the meat, certainly in a situation where they get the meat as well, they're certainly going to get the hides from that, like in the chatas and the nasham. And then the Mishnah says, and don't try to refute this kal v'chomer by bringing a proof from the mizbeach, that the altar, indeed, it receives the meat of the korban olah, but it doesn't receive the hides. So maybe we want to say same thing by way of the other kohanim, maybe the kohanim as well. When it comes to the other korbanas, the chatas and asham, the other kodshe kodashim, indeed, maybe they should just get the meat and not the hide. So the Mishnah says, "Ein mizbeach yochiach." You cannot prove this from the mizbeach that the kohanim should not receive the hides from the other kodshe kodashim. Why? The mizbeach is not a proof. She'ein lo or mikol makam, because the mizbeach never receives hides. And accordingly, you can't bring a proof from the mizbeach that never receives hides to the kohanim that indeed do receives the hides of the korban olah. And just like the korban olah, the kohanim receive the hides, so too they should receive and do receive the hides from the other kodshe kodashim as well. Mishnah Daled continues discussing the kohanim's receipt of the hides from the korbanas, but we're going to talk in particular if the korban is pasul, the korban became invalid, what happens in that situation with the hide, because the korban itself is going to have to be burned. So Mishnah Dalet says as follows, Kol HaKadoshim She'era Behem Psul Kodem Lehev Sheitan. If you have a korban that it has a psul, whatever it may be, but the psul happens before the skin was removed, so before the skinning of the hide, Ein Oroseim LaKohanim, the Oros, the hide, does not go to the Kohanim, it became Tame, it became Pasul together with the animal itself. So because that happened when they were combined, it had not been skinned yet, the Kohanim do not receive that hide. Indeed, that hide is burned together with the carcass of the animal. However, on the other hand, la'achar hef sheitan, if indeed the psul happened after the skin was removed, so it had already been skinned, and then the carcass itself became pasul oroseim lekohanim. In that situation, because the hide had been removed already, the kohanim are going to receive the hide, even though the rest of the carcass of the animal is going to have to be burned. Amar Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim, Rabbi Chanina, who was the Askan HaKohen, who was the second in charge to the Kohen Gadol, he says a statement and we'll explain it shortly. Mi'amai, the entire time, my entire life, the entire time I was serving in the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Ra'isi, or Yotze the Beis HaSreifa, literally it means I never saw a hide, a detached hide that was taken to the place where the korbanos are burned. So what he's referring to here is that when the korban was skinned, a situation where they found out it was a trefa. A trefa is a fatal defect in the animal. So they found out about it when the skin was already detached. But that trefa, that flaw, that defect existed when the skin was still attached. So he's focused here on not so much when was the skin removed or not, but when did you find out about that defect in the animal? And even if the skin was still attached to the animal, but you found out about the defect after the skin was detached, so even though, literally speaking, it was problematic, but because we only know about it after the skin was detached, His claim is that because I never saw a skin that was detached from a korban, that psul, I never saw it burned, it must be that that is okay. So he's saying, once again, a little complicated, that as long as you found out about the trefa, that defect after the skin was detached, even though that trefa psul existed when the skin was still attached, according to Rabbi Chanina's Kanoim, it's not going to be a problem. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, based on what we just saw in the name of Rabbi Chanina's Kanoim, Nidvarav Lamanu, from what he just told us, we're going to learn that the same concept applies to a Bechor. What's a Bechor? So Bechor are the firstborn certain animals that are given to the Kohen, and the Kohen brings it as a Korban, and the Kohen has the right there afterward to eat the meat. If it's brought in a kosher way, there's no psulim, he has the right to eat the meat and keep the skin. However, if that bechor is a trefa in that situation, then both the meat and the or and the hide are forbidden for benefit, asr bahana. So here we have a situation that Rabbi Akiva is telling us, but we learn from the limud of Rabbi Chanina Naskanoim that when we have a bechor, lamanu sha'mafshit at a bechor v'nimsa trefa, we learn the same thing that Rabbi Chanina told us. We can say the same thing as it applies to a bechor, that somebody who indeed skins the bechor and then finds out there afterward that it's a trefa. So in other words, the skinning happened before the finding out that it was a trefa, even though it was really a trefa before the skin was removed. Sheye also a konim beoro, that the konim indeed can have benefit from this bechor because the skinning happened before they had knowledge of the trefa. That's what Rabbi Chanina Naskana Koim told us about other korbanos. We can apply that to the bechor as well. V'chachamim omrim, v'chachamim, they disagree with that. They agree with the Tana Kama. Ein lo ra'inu ra'aya. The fact that somebody didn't see something doesn't prove anything. Ela yotza the base of trefa, indeed, This hide, the ore, indeed has to be burned, as the Tana Kama said. All we care about is what happened first. Did the psul happen first, or did the removing of the skin happen first? And if the psul happened first, before the skin was removed, it has to be burnt. And if the reverse, it doesn't have to be burnt. And the fact that Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim didn't see ever the situation, a hide, a detached hide from a korban psul being burnt, and either didn't happen in his time, or he simply didn't see it, but you can't prove a halachic issue from the fact that lo ra'inu, that I didn't happen to see it. Mishnah Hay follows the discussion in the prior Mishnah of burning of invalid korbanos. So now the Mishnah says as follows, parim anisrafim usim anisrafim. These are the bowl offerings that are totally burnt. We'll explain what that means shortly. And the higos that are totally burnt, we are harking back to the beginning of Ezu Makoma, and these are specific offerings. For example, the bowl offering of Yom Kippur, the higot offering, the seer of Yom Kippur, and various other offerings that the Torah tells us that their zrika is done not outside on the Mizbeach, but on the Mizbeach Tapnimi, the Mizbeach inside the Heichal. So we're talking specifically about those karbanos, bizman shen nisrafin kemitzvasan, when those karbanos are kosher, there was no psul, so they are to be burnt outside of Yerushalayim, as we'll state shortly, nisrafin bebeis hadesh, and as long as everything went smoothly with those karbanos, there's no psulim, they are indeed burnt in the beis hadesh, and that is a place that they used to burn the ash, literally the burning of the ash, but here they also used to burn these specific karbanos at that location, again outside of Yerushalayim, and those who were involved, and we'll explain what this means shortly in the next Mishnah, umitamim begadim, those who were involved in the process of burning it, their begadim, their clothing that they were wearing, would become tame. Vim einam nisrafin kemitzvasan. On the other hand, if there was a psul in these korbanos, then they indeed would not be brought and burnt outside on the Beis HaMikdash and outside of Yerushalayim, but rather nisrafin bebeis habira, they would be burnt at a different location. The Beis HaBira was actually on Har HaBayis. It's actually two possible locations. We'll mention shortly, Veina Metami Begadim, and they would not be Metame the Begadim. So the Bartanura gives us a little bit more information that if we have these animals that had a psul, it depends when the psul happened to them. If the psul happened when they're still in the Azara, then there was a place to burn them inside the Azara, inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. However, if the psul happened to them once they left the Azara while they're still on Har HaBayis, then there was a separate location that was also on Har HaBayis, but not inside the Azara. Torah, and the carcass indeed, now that it's psul, was burnt there. Mishnah Vav is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, where we saw that when we have those korbanos, that the zrika is done inside the heichal on the mizbeach hapnimi, the inner mizbeach, bizman shem nisrafin kamitzvah son. As we saw Mishnah here, at the time that there was no psul involved with them, then they got carried outside of Yerushalayim. So we're going to continue talking about the tumah of those who were involved in the burning of these korbanos. So hayu sovlin osam bimotos, the people who were carrying out these carcasses of those parim and israfim, masrim and israfim, they would carry them out on poles, so there would be at least two poles for each carcass. So at least for two poles for each carcass, you would have at least two people carrying each of those poles, so a total of a minimum of four people that were carrying, two people in front, two people in back. And the Mishnah continues, Yatsu harishonim chutz lechomas ha'azara, so the people in front, as soon as they went out of the azara, outside of the wall of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, v'achronim lo yatsu, and the two in back did not yet exit the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, harishonim etamim begadim, v'achronim eina etamim begadim ad sheyetzeu. So the front ones, as soon as they left the azara, their clothing now becomes tame. This is the shita of the Tana Kama. And the people in back, their clothing does not become tame until they actually leave as well. So yatsu elu ve'elu, once both sets had gone out, the people in front who were carrying the animal and the people in back, elu ve'elu mitame begadim, that's when all of their clothing becomes tame. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he has a different view. Elu ve'elu eina mitame begadim ad sheyitzas ha'or beruban. He says that all of them, they have the same din, that it's only when the carcass is on fire, the majority of the carcass. So mitamim begadim ad sheyitzas ha'or beruban, that the carcasses, the majority of the carcass is caught on fire, that is when those who are involved in the burning of those karbanas, that is when their clothing becomes tameh nitach habasar, and once the meat becomes charred, so it's now charred, the moisture of the meat has come out, at that point, anyone else who joins in to assist in the burning of those karbanos, ein hasoref metameh begadim, his clothing will not become tameh anymore. So because he wasn't there from the beginning, when the time when the carcass, with the majority of it, started to be on fire, until the charring was completed, he wasn't involved at that time point, or through any point in that time point, his clothing would not become tame. Over the Tana Kama would disagree, as we saw in the Tana Kama, certainly for the beginning point of the tumah, that's when you leave the azara, but even the end point of the tumah, the Gemara tells us that according to the Tana Kama, until the meat becomes total ash, even after it's charred, it's still going to be metame, anyone involved in it, even somebody new who was involved after it became charred, all the way up until it becomes ash. Once it becomes ash, if then somebody new comes to be involved in the ash itself, then his clothing would not be metame. Otherwise, the clothing would be tame all the way up until the ash point.